What is up, everybody? Dr. Joe Armstrong here, and I am super excited to tell you that we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Medgene. It's a new day in animal healthcare, and Medgene is wide awake. Medgene is the first USDA-licensed producer of prescription platform vaccines. Medgene's prescription platform vaccines help veterinarians in the swine, cattle, deer, and rabbit industries respond faster and more efficiently. Learn more about Medgene's prescription platform vaccines at MedgeneLabs.com. That's MedgeneLabs.com. Or better yet, follow Medgene on Facebook and LinkedIn. Medgene, it's a new day in animal healthcare. What is up, everybody? This is Dr. Joe Armstrong. It is 6:14:24 at 10 a.m. Last week, we talked a little bit about how we have our first cases in Minnesota. We talked a little bit about what is going on in that press release. We'll make some corrections to that press release, even though the Board of Animal Health has failed to do so publicly, make corrections to that press release. But I am told one of the big things that we talked about last week in that press release, it said the entire herd was quarantined. I am told that is not true. Yet to see an official correction from the Board of Animal Health on that one, but only lactating dairy cows were quarantined in the positive, official positive herds in Minnesota. As we talked about last week, I was hoping to have more information for you early this week about what the response plan is going to be for Minnesota when we have positive herds. What will happen? What's the plan? What is Board of Animal Health going to require? Despite the urgency of this situation and the need for farmers to know what's going to happen on both the dairy and the poultry side, we are still waiting. We have no public response plan for what's going to happen. What is that causing? Well, the uncertainty is causing dairy farmers to not want to test. They have no idea what's going to happen. In addition to that, we have that press release that had incorrect information in it. It said the entire herd was quarantined, and until we have official word from Board of Animal Health about what the actual response plan is going to be, farmers can only go off of the information they have. And the information they have is that the entire herd was quarantined. Now, it sounds like the intention is to only quarantine lactating dairy cows, but I don't know. We don't have a finalized response plan yet. Before we move on and we get to what we do have, let's talk about the states that are added to our list. We'll go through all of them, everyone that's positive at this time. All right. Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Kansas, Wyoming, Idaho, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio, and North Carolina. Those are the states officially on the map. We continue to only have three dairies in Minnesota that are officially positive: Benton County, Sibley County, and Lincoln County. All right, let's get to what we do know. Yesterday on 6/13, the Board of Animal Health released a press release announcing they would be requiring testing for lactating cattle going to shows and exhibitions. I think it's been pretty clear up until this point my opinion on whether or not lactating dairy cattle should be at shows. And my opinion is that lactating dairy cattle should not be at shows. The good news is that the Board of Animal Health has given us a decision. Some might argue that it's pretty late in the game to be making that decision, and it should have been made a long time ago, but at least we have something now. So what is required? Well, basically, we're taking some of the guidance that we got from the federal side, and we're applying it to intrastate movement for animals going to shows. What do we need? We need a negative test result collected within 7 days of travel to the show, and that animal must travel on a CVI. The negative test should be a milk PCR test collected by an accredited veterinarian. That accredited veterinarian will submit that sample and then will write the health paper based on the results of that test. So, quick review. Your checklist needs to be a sample collected by an accredited veterinarian within 7 days of movement to the show, sent in, negative test. That negative test then goes on a health paper written by that same veterinarian to the destination of the show. At the show, you can stay at the show for 10 days and return home without needing further testing or a CVI to move. You just need to be at the show for less than 10 days, and your negative test from when you went to the show counts for your movement back. to your home farm. You must bring the animal back to the address listed on the CVI. There is a matching document to the press release on the Minnesota Board of Animal Health website. I will make sure that I have the Minnesota Board of Animal Health website linked in the show notes. Some questions that have come up that are not made clear by that document are, what kind of testing do you need? Does it need to be bulk tank? Does it need to be individual animal? In this case, we want individual animals, and I think that is the best sample to take for this situation. Individual animal sample, it has to be connected to that cow collected by accredited veterinarian. We're running a PCR test on that milk. That is the test you need, PCR, and that should be handled by your veterinarian. They will submit that for you. That testing will be paid for by USDA. Veterinarians, if you're listening, a reminder, what we need is a composite sample from all four quarters. So you will strip out all four quarters into one sample. It needs to be between 3 and 10 mils total volume. Veterinarians also, please do not get tunnel vision on this and only look at that animal. Look at the other animals that animal is living with. Look at where it's coming from and decide if there is something on a bigger picture scale that would mean that this animal should not attend a show. So take the second, walk through. It's a good thing to do anyway from a client relationship standpoint to just have an idea of the herd health for where the animal is coming from. I hope that clears up some of the questions that have been coming in as far as exactly what you need to get to a show. Now, there's going to be some quick turnarounds to get to some shows because this goes into effect on the 18th. But we have shows starting next week. So I think what you need to be doing is making sure that you're getting going on this now so we can get some samples collected and get them to the lab, because you're not going to get samples back the day of. You want to plan on at least 3 days. And the lab at the University of Minnesota Diagnostic Lab has been very quick. They've been turning things back the next day. And so it's been good, but you need to account for at least 3 days for those test results to come back, just in case. As of now, they are not testing on weekends, so you can't count weekend days right now. That may change as the volume of testing increases. Things that are still unclear in this are what is going to happen if we have a symptomatic and or positive animal while they are attending a show. Still very possible. We need to think about the risk. Does this decrease the risk? Yes, it does decrease the risk for lactating dairy cattle being at shows. But if you can collect a sample up to 7 days before your movement to the show and you can stay for 10 days, you've got 7 days after the test was collected where you can still be exposed to disease and bring it to the show. There is still risk, and the biggest risk is having lactating dairy cattle at shows, and we won't rehash my opinion on that. Now, one thing I haven't been super clear on is there's really two things that we're talking about when we say risk. And I haven't been super clear in explaining my thoughts on risk and what that means. There's two things that we can look at with risk that are really the most important for this conversation. There's the risk of exposure. Okay, risk of exposure just in general. How likely is it that you would be exposed to the disease? That's one form of risk, and we've been talking about that a lot, and I still believe lactating dairy cattle are the biggest risk from that standpoint. The other piece of risk is looking at consequence. Even if the likelihood is very, 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 very low, the consequence can be high enough that the risk is still high. The example from the veterinary side I think about all the time is rabies and exposure to rabies. If a dog were to bite you and they did not have a known vaccine history, the chances that that dog has rabies is incredibly low. But the consequence, if it does, is crazy high. Because if you don't go in and get prophylactic treatments for rabies, the consequence is you die. High, high, high risk, even though the probability is fairly low. So the dog biting you, in terms of rabies, is still an incredibly high risk situation, even though the risk of exposure is low. Hopefully everyone followed me on that little somewhat tangent of a thought. When we look at the situation with shows, the risk of exposure is greatest with lactating dairy cattle. The overall risk of exposure, I'm not going to even call it low. It's probably low to medium, because of how much virus is in our state right now. And with lactating dairy cattle at the show, I'm going to call it medium. So the risk of exposure might not be high, but what are the consequences of exposure? The consequences of exposure, especially with a lactating dairy cow being positive at a show because the most infective media is milk, the consequences are severe, and that makes the risk high regardless of the exposure risk. So overall, my point is, does this testing requirement reduce the risk? Yes, it reduces the risk of exposure, but it does not change the consequence in any way. So the risk remains high if you allow lactating dairy cattle at shows. All right, enough about shows. You can tell that I can get fired up on that pretty quick. We can talk about it and talk in circles all day, but we're done with shows for this episode. Let's talk about the bigger picture of a response plan for Minnesota. Like I said, we still don't know what it is. And that's frustrating, not going to lie. There seems to be a lack of urgency to address the issue and get a plan in place. And that is pretty unacceptable given the impact not only that this virus and disease has on the dairy industry, but especially the impact that it has on the poultry industry is massive. So I'm looking for a sense of urgency here that this needs to happen and we need to get plans out and there needs to be a known quantity in this of what's going to happen. Right now there's uncertainty. Even if the plan is to do nothing, we need to know because we need to know how to plan and how to go forward and how to decide where to spend our resources in these various industries coming up with plans if someone else isn't going to take the lead. Now, looking at the evidence and what we're trying to do, we need to limit lateral spread like we talked about last week. That is the biggest problem. We need to biocontain this virus on a positive prem. The goal is to limit the amount of virus that goes into the shared ecosystem that increases the risk for neighboring farms, whether they be other cattle operations or poultry. To do that, we need to have a handle on traceability and we have to have a handle on risk assessment for each individual premise because, as we've talked about in the past, every dairy operation is different. All of that comes down to saying that my opinion is that if we have a positive premise, I do think the entire herd should be quarantined. Now, remember, a quarantine does not mean you cannot move anything. It means you cannot move anything until the board gives you approval to do so. So if the entire herd is quarantined, the board can come in and say, based on how things are going at your place and your operation and system, we are going to say that lactating dairy cattle cannot move for 30 days. But everything else can move on and off your farm as long as it moves with some sort of traceability in place, such as a permit or a health paper, even for intrastate movement. That allows traceability. That rule could be expanded to include other things such as waste milk and manure. We don't have a lot of data on manure yet. I'm working on that. Waste milk, we know, is a risk. So they could say, waste milk is also quarantined and cannot leave the premise unless it meets certain criteria, such as pasteurization, before it is removed from the premise. That, to me, is the base of the plan, response plan, moving forward for what should happen with animal movements with regard to this disease. Now, would that plan potentially make some people angry? Absolutely. Totally get it. But the big point is that we just need something. We need a plan or a statement that says what the plan's going to be or what they're going to do or what they're not going to do so that people can plan moving forward. What's going to happen? We don't even know the rules that we're playing with right now. And that means most people are going to choose to just not participate. All right, that's enough rambling for today. We've got some other documents that came out yesterday that we're going to get to eventually. They are epidemiological reports from Michigan and a national epidemiological, I would say, highlight document regarding H5N1 in cattle, and we will get to those next week. I need time to really go through them and dissect them and get a plan together for how we're going to talk about them and the implications of the information that are in those documents. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, if you have comments, questions, or scathing rebuttals, those go to themooseroom@umn.edu. Check out our website, extension.umn.edu. And with that, I will catch you guys next episode.
Bye.
Thank you.